Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Ace Man, Bald Brian, Gina, I was just calling. I had to say that I love you boys, but Gina Grad, you are amazing. I love everything about you. You are an inspiration to me, and you rock. Keep it up, guys.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Oh, such a pleasure coming to work with Gina Grad.
Thank you.
Every day.
Back at you.
All right. We're talking a little Halloween costumes because Halloween's tomorrow. And I had some thoughts about this earlier in the day. On the sort of theme of this sort of robbing ourselves of experiences with convenience and money and Amazon, kids should make their own outfits. Mm. There should be an experience. Every kid should have that experience. And actually, the mother and the father should share that experience. It should be like a shared experience. But also, I mean, if you take something like making your own Halloween costume is to a young person's psyche is like what Vinnie Tortorich would tell you what an egg is. Mm. It's like the perfect food. Yep. It's got the
everything
fat. It's got the protein. It's all there. It's all there. Like all the lessons, all the part where your imagination and your dexterity, and then now you have to go figure out a way to improvise this because this doesn't exist and all that. Versus, I'm going to snatch up some Bitcoin, hop online, go to Amazon, have a drone drop it off, and then just get the nanny to assemble it in the living room, which is the opposite. Yeah. That's the opposite. And
It's like we've talked about in the past with the tree, the Christmas tree. You can get the prefab one, the fake one that's strung with lights. Everything about it is more convenient. It's cleaner, the put away, everything. Everything about it, it's cheaper. But the ritual of doing a real tree and getting it and setting it up and doing the water and doing the lights and everything,
it means something.
It makes it special.
Right. And we're looking at sort of like two roads. And I think this is part of the, undoing of the fabric of our society is everyone is just standing at a crossroads and one arrow says bumpy, difficult, time consuming, lots of sweat, lots of effort. And without getting to the bottom of the sign, which says incredibly rewarding and will build character and strengthen muscles you'll need for a lifetime. We don't get to the bottom.
You lost me a bumpy.
We just go over to the other one, and it says Easy Street, and it smells like cotton candy.
Yep.
And we go, oh, okay. And everyone just starts heading down that street. We miss the part where you get so much out of this. And I just sort of realized, no one's making their own costumes. They're all online. Mm. They're all not only are they buying just costumes, they're being delivered to your house
in 2 days.
Yes,
I have a worthy example of this in live time. So my guy has a small child, and the kid is begging him to be Buzz Lightyear to take him around trick or treating, and he said, "Okay, great." So we looked at the Buzz Lightyear costume online. And it sucks. It's a t-shirt with a purple hood over his head.
It's a Bobo costume.
And there's nothing to it. And my boyfriend said, I can make this myself if that's all it is. So I want to show you what he ended up with, which I think is
better
than
this. The one online looks like a t-shirt with just some
like a Holy Grail knight's helmet.
And a sort of sack over your head with a half an airplane wing strapped to the back.
Yeah, and you deserve to get beat up if that's your costume.
He said, I'm going to look through my drawers and we'll make a quick Target run and I'm going to use a couple of your coasters and challenge accepted. And we have a picture of his amazing likeness to the costume that costs actual money online. And they'll pull that up for you. But I think you'll be, I don't know if impressed is the right word, but it illustrates your point that we did have a lot of fun making this with a hanger, six of those Mead folders, purple and green folders. So we made the wings in the back. Those are two coasters.
Okay, so that's Buzz Lightyear. Now show us the costume.
two coasters from my coffee table, a purple sweatshirt, a white t-shirt, and a little green t-shirt we rolled up. Oh, he rolled up. And same thing.
You can go to amcurl.com and see those.
Oh, no, it's so humiliating.
They're both seen equally lackluster, but
one costs money and one doesn't.
Look, everybody, whether it's lasagna or a costume, the process of mama making it versus shipping out to Grubhub, it's just it's a different experience as a child.
Yep.
I appreciate a sexual drive in men.
Buzz Lightyear.
That is Buzz Lightyear.
Buzz.
I don't remember that from the movie.
We got a question on line six. James, 41, Addison, Texas.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man. What's going on?
Not much. I got a Halloween story for you guys.
Let's hear it.
All right. So grew up in rural Wisconsin. You know, there are lots of farm fields, cornfields, all that shit. Nothing much to do besides drinking and fucking off and pranks and shit. So come Halloween time, a friend of mine had a pumpkin patch in one of his fields. So we, being the only one that has a truck, we loaded my Chevy S10 up with, I don't know how many ever pumpkins you can fit inside of the bed of an S10. And then we did that 10 times over, drove them over to the high school and just smashed them all in the parking lot, threw them all in front of the high school for Monday, you know, school. And, of course, when we got there, they're all rotten. And the best part was watching everybody drive into the parking lot at school, and it was like they were driving on ice.
It's pretty slippery.
Viscousy.
Yeah, I like smashing a pumpkin. I've said this. The M80 in the pumpkin is awesome. I cannot. You got to find this Maxipata, but it's been a while. But no more range than gourds. They have the miniature pumpkins that are for the table, for the centerpiece of a table, that are the size of a small apple.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, when they go small, I mean, we're talking about a number of, you know, few ounces.
Like crab apple.
And then there's the ones that sit in the bed of the pickup and lift the front axles off the ground, and they set the record
at the county fair.
2,800 pounds. Yeah. I mean, that, you know, like I said, there's like big breeds of dogs and small breeds of dogs, but The 150 pounds is the variation
right.
Between the two, the small one and the big one. This is 4 ounces versus 2,600 pounds. Like that's range.
Yeah.
And they really look exactly the same. James?
Yeah. So I totally agree with you. And just one added note. Of course, the local Pewaukee detective unit showed up to school on Monday and had to interview any known suspects, which, of course, and,
sure.
Myself and my friends were always the guys pranking and, you know, throwing veggie on teachers' cars, shit like that. So they called us immediately into the principal's office, and the detective sat down with me and he actually said, "Let me see your fingers." I said, "Okay, why?" He goes, "I just want to make sure there's no pumpkin flesh underneath your fingernails."
Nice.
I like. Yeah. Well, look, it's good. It means there's relatively no crime in your town. Because, like, in L.A., you call 911 and they're like, literally, some drunk driver ran into my house while I was out of town, and Lynette called 911 and they're like, "Well, go check it out yourself."
Let us know.
If there's an issue. There's something called a citizen's arrest. Last I checked, you were a citizen. Like, the guy fucking ran into my gate, drunk, stumbled out of his car, cleared out all the bottles from his car, like threw it down the hill, and then the OnStar operator like sent a Suburban to come pick him up and drive his drunk ass home, and the cops never showed up.
Wow.
And they told Lynette with two infant kids, "Go down and check it out.
See if it checks out." Yeah,
it's awesome.
So on a thank
God
side
we pay
note,
no taxes.
Adam,
yeah.
On a side note, my high school job was at a car restoration shop, and the main customer was a guy who owned an extensive collection of Ford and mostly, you know, race history cars and the GT40 bit.
That you guys Miley Cyrus. About? Sorry, what?
The GT40 that you guys were talking about a while back going up for auction.
Mm-hmm.
I actually did a lot of work on that while I was there. the owner took it to France. We had to crate it up, and he took it for a reenactment of the 64, 65 Le Mans.
Probably 66. But yeah.
66, yeah. The gold one, number 5.
Yeah. And just sold for.
He basically totaled it.
He totaled it?
Well, I mean, you can't total a car like that, but it was something like $3 million from the fix-it, and I was involved in the fixing of it. And I remember him saying how he got the last one from the mold for as far as the wheels go, because he needs the whole front end was completely.
Was it raining or something?
No, the guy was just a jackass. The guy that owns it, he also owns one of the, you know, one of those original Shelby Daytona coupes.
Yeah,
and some GT350R.
God, what a cool job you had! Those are iconic, incredible, expensive cars. So that car came in third at Le Mans, sold for a skosh under $10 million, just a little bit under $10 million, and
he paid under $1 million for it. I know that because when we heard the figures, I was amazed. I'm like, you're going to put millions of dollars into this car to fix it? He goes, well, I only bought it for like $900,000.
What year did he buy it, approximately? You could probably do the math.
Yeah, no, 93, I would guess.
All right. Well, not a bad investment. Thanks, James. You know, something would fall in the heading of super interesting to me?
Mm.
Dawson, new segment. Super interesting to Adam. But to no one else.
The Adam Carolla Show?
But to no one else. That's right. I want to thank, I'll tell you a quick story on that. Cashflow Challenge. You can tweet us your questions at Adam Carolla, hashtag Cashflow Challenge. MedMen. Go to medmen.com. Let them know I sent you. LifeLock. Check out LifeLock. Enter Adam.
That's important to me.
So we were talking about, so that car was the car that came in third with the famous finish where Ford wanted the 1-2-3 finish, right. And Ken Miles got fucked out of his triple crown, and that was the 1-2-3. That was the third of the 1-2-3. Also, they're making the Ford versus Ferrari movie, and we talked about Christian Bale and Matt Damon and blah, blah, blah. And interesting side note in the car making movie department, Willie T. Ribbs flew him out here from Texas and spent the whole afternoon with John Singleton telling him his life story.
Very interesting.
Inspiring. So hopefully we'll have some more to report with that. But that was kind of fun connecting John Singleton and Willie T. Ribbs. So I was talking about this story. Now, that car that came in third that sold for $10 million was brought not by Shelby, I do not believe, but the Holman and Moody like sponsored that car, and there were engine builders and blah blah blah. And in my doc we have John Moody, I think, of Holman Moody, or one of them. And I remember Lynette was doing the transcription for 10 minutes, and then it got super boring because that's how docs are basically. Like, you go, I'm going to make a doc. And you go, okay. And then you go, we interviewed this super boring old guy hours. Now log it. And you go, this sucks. Yeah. So, but I remember she was transcribing John Moody or Holman Moody. And anyway, I went home and I IMDb'd this new project, and it's like, oh, there's Christian Bale as Ken Miles, and then Matt Damon as Shelby. And I got down to the bottom, and my old good buddy from the Groundlings, and I also had a little construction outfit with him, the guy I cast as my foreman in my movie, The Hammer, who's done many, many movies, as long Hudsucker Proxy and movies like that, as a long Chris Darga is
Adam Carolla
playing. He's playing John Holman in this movie. So not only is it going to be Bale and Ken Miles and all that kind of stuff, which now I'm convinced they got hold of our doc and they're just fucking making a movie about it. And we'll never, we'll, no one ever, we'll not even go to the premiere, but we won't get invited. But if you IMDb that shit, you'll see my old friend Chris Darga.
You got to have him on the show when the movie comes out.
I have
some good stories.
I agree. And he's almost at the bottom of the IMDb list. So, you know, Mike. Starts at the bottom. You work your way up to Bale. So we'll get to that. But I thought it was just kind of a small world that this dude I knew for so many years and acted like so long.
Very recognizable character actor.
Yeah, very recognizable character actor. Chris Darga and a good character. A good character actor. Done, I mean, like Seinfeld's. And just like, it just one of those guys that's just done everything.
Always it's, working.
Hudsucker Proxy, Bruce Almighty.
Yeah, good guy. And a funny guy. All right, let's take ourselves a quickie break. Let's do the Cashflow Challenge first, and we'll come back with the news. You can tweet us at Adam Carolla Show with your hashtag Cashflow Challenge, with your questions for Cashflow Challenge, brought to you by Cashflow Edge, formulated with fluid titanium technology, reduces friction, maximizes energy performance. Three times, fool. Stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading full synthetic. What's the question, Max Pata?
All right, this comes from Charlie, not a chaplain, on Instagram, hashtag Castrol Challenge. Should I bother polishing fogged out headlights or buy aftermarket new ones?
A lot of people have the covers for their headlights, and he's talking about fog lights, but headlights. I mean, they have a lot of products now that take those blurry, scarred kind of plastic, the ones when they go south and they start looking gray and yellow and light's not passing through them very well. They have a lot of good products for cleaning those and polishing them and bringing them back to life. So I would say avail yourself of one of those products at the whatever home. Sometimes at the home improvement places, but mostly like auto parts places. And do it with your front headlight covers and that any plastic lights or covers or whatever, even glass on your car. So thank you, and thank you, Castrol Edge. All right, quick break. Come back. Do the news with Gina Grad.
Hey, this is Stephanie Wilder-Taylor.
And Lynette Carolla.
And we're For Crying Out Loud. Listen to our show because there's lots of swearing.
Lots of stories.
Lots of personal information.
That you don't really need to know, but we tell you anyway.
Yeah.
So check us out on iTunes and Podcast One.
For Crying Out Loud with Lynette Carolla and Stephanie Wilder-Taylor. Every Tuesday and Friday at Carolla Digital, Podcast One, and Apple Podcasts.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, some really sad news over the weekend. I'm sure everyone's caught it by now, so we'll skip ahead a little bit. The man accused of killing 11 congregants in an attack on a Pittsburgh synagogue appeared in court for the first time on Monday. He appeared in the federal courthouse in downtown Pittsburgh in a wheelchair, handcuffed, surrounded by U.S. marshals. The judge listed an overview of the 29 criminal charges against him. The charges included obstructing the free exercise of religious beliefs. Federal authorities said Sunday they intend to pursue the death penalty. He faces state charges as well. He was ordered held without bail, and his next hearing is scheduled for Thursday.
He should be killed, right?
It'd be nice. I actually looked it up, and I thought, well, does Pennsylvania do they follow through with the death penalty? And
isn't that a federal crime?
Well, I think the last one was in 99, and then there were two in 95. So that's what I saw on Wikipedia anyway. So they do it. It's been a while.
I feel like this would be like a Timothy McVeigh situation, like a domestic terrorism. Like, they could probably get him on federal charges.
I agree.
It's a question for Garrett, I don't know.
I'd like him killed because I don't want to hear, like, I don't want to hear he gets married. He sires kids.
He writes a book.
The
manifesto.
It'd be horrible.
Yeah.
And he's quite verbose, apparently, because gab.com, which I don't think any of us were probably familiar with, is a social site where it's no holds barred. It's anything you want to say, free speech, anything, how hateful, how violent, whatever, apparently. And he was a pretty frequent poster on there and talking about how the Jews are coming for everybody and he has to kill all the Jews and screw your optics, I'm going in.
And it's a guy who likes to judge cultures frequently and genders as well. We need more Jews. I don't get that. The only beef,
never been said before, but finally someone's taking a stand.
The only beef, if you got a beef with the Jews, that's just an insecurity. Like,
I like that.
Well, what I mean is, like, they're wildly successful. They're a great culture. I've always, you know, a couple things. Lynette's dad said, like, just marry a Jew. Like, I get it. Like,
she tried.
She came close.
I like, marry a Jew. Like, this guy will be successful. He'll be family oriented. Like, he'll be whatever. Like, it's such a weird group to find a beef with. And I know none of it is based in, well, not none of it, but what I'm saying is, it's like, you know, there are certain groups you can say certain things about, maybe.
Like what?
Well.
don't answer that.
I once knew a guy. Mm-hmm. That guy played a all Armenian soccer team once in the old guy, you know, pickup dad's league. Mm-hmm. After some of those guys throwing a couple of punches at their guys and their own players, he said, I don't in any way condone the Armenian genocide. But I understand. I understand that. And Garagus is a dear friend.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
Certain groups have certain traits. The Jews, the whole, hey, we're family.
Mild
I like
manner.
To tell jokes.
Yeah.
We're conversational.
You want all the money.
I learned this so early from my grandfather. It's just like, he is the only good one out of this whole fucking group. All the Corollas. There's like one good one, and he just happens to be a Jew from Hungary. So later on, that spilled into North Hollywood High, that handful of Jews I knew up, grew up on the hill. And
up
I think there's certain people you will – look, I think if you are wildly successful, there's ways you can garner hatred through – hate groups, and one way is being wildly successful. And yeah. I feel like that's the Jews.
And, you know, I don't know what another example of this would be, but I'm not going to draw a contrast. But he went to a tiny little synagogue that they don't even have enough, barely for a minion, they do a chapel service in the basement or something. It was a baby naming. The people that were killed were between 54 and 97 years old. Like, How much more evil could that be? Well, there was a Holocaust survivor that actually survived this.
But hold on. The killing a 97-year-old is not nearly as evil as killing a 17-year-old.
I'm saying in terms of defending yourself, in terms of being able to charge someone and knock something out of your hand.
It's evil as evil as evil. I got to say, like, as the atheist who's just without a dog in the fight, I'm somewhat relieved when I hear – when I hear the victims, when I hear young victims, I'm heartbroken. When I hear old, I feel
you've lived your life.
Yeah, it's a matter of, is this a 10 or is it a 7? Like I heard about the 97-year-old and I thought I like that better than 11-year-old or 12.
Given the choice, of course, between the two. Yeah,
right. All right.
I think this guy was just interested in getting a body count.
Did Damashek tweet that this was his temple or whatever, synagogue?
I have no idea.
I think so.
Yeah, that's where he was bar mitzvah.
Oh,
bar mitzvah.
My God.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Coincidence.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, switching major gears here, it's been reported that Apu from The Simpsons might be removed from the long-running animated series entirely. In an interview with producer...
Oh, wait a minute. I'd heard that Megyn Kelly had signed up to do the voice of Apu.
Oh, that's breaking. Chris, can you look that up?
Poor Apu.
Look that up.
Yeah. That's big news.
Don't stop looking until I'm right.
Producer Adi Shankar revealed that he's verified from multiple sources that the removal of Apu from the show is inevitable. He said they're going to drop the character altogether. They aren't going to make
a big
deal.
Mission accomplished?
He said they aren't going to make a big deal out of it or anything like that. They'll just drop him altogether just to avoid controversy. And the news comes despite Shankar wanting to crowdfund a script that could actually save the character by addressing the issues with the problem with Apu and updating the character for a modern audience. But they just want to quietly get rid of the character, and that's that because of the problem with Apu documentary.
It must be nice where every time Pearl Clutcher, panty anal sucker, douchebag complains, since the other side's default setting is let's pack it up and go home.
Just go right. Full turtle.
It must be great because you can just fucking, they go full turtle and you just pick up speed. Because normally, like if you go, hey, I want to build some condos on some swamp land over there on that marsh in Marina Del Rey. Then another group like comes out and goes, we don't want your condo. And then I go,
you're in Biona Creek.
I'm creating jobs. And then you go, not on our wetlands. And then I go, hold on. And next thing you know, you got a lawyer and I got a lawyer and 10 years goes by. But what if it just every fucking time you pointed a finger at somebody and went, I'm sorry, go ahead and do what you want. Like, we're leaving. Like, that's what it is. It's not really their fault. It's the people who just fucking pack it up every single time somebody goes, hey, we didn't like Megyn Kelly. She's gone. Yeah. Fire her. She's fired. Hey, Al Franken. Yeah, gone. Yeah. Gone. Hey, Apu. Gone. Everyone's just like, gone. Hey, Chris Hardwick. We got something from we got a dental record from when he was 14. He's out. Fire him. He's not working anymore. Like, well, of course, whoever's doing the finger pointing and wagging, the sort of morality police, and everyone's been deputized over the last few years, they're going to just pick up speed because they never stop. See, you get stopped when you go, I want to do this. And someone goes, I don't want you to do that. And then they go, all right, well, let's work. We got
to
have a hearing and we'll figure out whatever. But if no one, there's not even road bumps. There are speed bumps. It's really just like bloom. We're just blowing next. Who's going to get fired next? What character's going to get yanked off next? What mascot's going to be thrown off a team? Like, what, we're going to change a name. We're going to tear down a statue. Like, boom, 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 boom. Like, how come there's no... Now, I get it. No one wants to step up because if anyone steps up and says anything, then you get called something horrible and nobody wants to get called that. So we just power forward. But there is no coasting and there's no taking the foot off the accelerator. There's just what's next. It's not like, well, we got a poo off the air. We're satiated. Let's all take a break. No. It's like, what other show? What other character? Who else? Mm-hmm. What else? What else can we do? What street can we get the name changed? Okay. Like, how? What statue can we tear down? What library with Lincoln's name on it or Washington or whoever, whatever? Like, let's just get it all. And then you start realizing, as I've realized, do these people have a love of justice, or they have a love of telling people what to do?
I think it's obviously more the second one. Right. Like, you look at like the Washington Redskins and like what a poo is. Like you said, the difference between a 10 and a 7. Like, Redskins is objectively an offensive term, but they decided a poo is a caricature, like Chief Wiggum or Monty Burns. He's an archetype. This is not. I cannot imagine this being problematic or offensive.
Well, he has an accent, but...
Then again, so does everyone who comes from a country to another country.
Right.
He speaks another language.
He runs a convenience store based on many people, at least around here, that heritage running a liquor store, a convenience store. And then after that, he's about 10 times smarter than Homer is and seems to make pretty good life choices and things of that nature. I suspect the main issue is there's a white guy doing his voice. Hank Azaria doing his voice.
And, you know, it's just your stereotypical Indian guy. It's a terrible representation of.
Why is it a terrible representation, though? Like, I don't. What's terrible?
It's a fairly upstanding character.
He seems to be a pretty hardworking guy.
He's
like family oriented. Like, I don't know why it's such a. And also, you know, I've watched The Simpsons pretty religiously. He's, stories on him and his wife. And, you know, every time Homer comes into Yeah, anyway, it's insane that this is where we're at, but here we go. And it will not end. It will not end. And that's why people need to kind of just say no. Say no. And look, and if you don't want to watch The Simpsons, then don't watch The Simpsons.
But a new anyway. Take on Just Say No.
Just say no.
Nancy Reagan. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of that, if you tune into the third hour of the Today Show on Monday, you were greeted with some familiar faces. Not Megyn Kelly. She wasn't one of them. She's gone now. But Craig Melvin, Hoda Kotb, and Al Roker somberly addressed viewers about the change in the lineup.
My favorite part.
Here's just a 15-second clip.
My favorite part. I hope. Let me see if I can cover some bases. They like Megan personally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They wish her well.
She made a mistake.
It had to be addressed.
I wish it were that interesting.
Oh.
Here we go.
Today, as you know, we are starting a new chapter in the third hour of our show. As it evolves, we want you to know that the entire Today family will continue to bring you informative and important stories just as we always have.
Look at the face, the Jim Halpert office, like, shrug face everybody's making.
Yeah.
Are these three a regular part of the show?
They're temporarily now sort of placeholders. They don't know if they're going to continue.
Does it feel pandering that there's three black people addressing this blackface controversy?
It's been noticed on social media.
Okay, it's my first thought.
Last week, NBC issued a statement saying, in the wake of Kelly's cancellation, the 9 a.m. hour would be hosted by other Today co-anchors, which includes Savannah Guthrie, presumably Jenna Bush. No word yet on if Roker, in his 23rd year with the show, will stay there permanently or not.
How many jobs does Hoda have? Like, I expect to just show up my kitchen one day and go, where's Olga? And Hoda's going to turn around. I'm making blue apron. What happened? Olga? I let her go.
She's busy.
Curry's almost ready.
You leave money on the table. Like, how many jobs can one woman have? How fucking stoked is her husband? Hey there, cash cow. I mean, Hoda. Ooh, he's down to 26 jobs.
How's my little golden goose?
You better get moving. Yeah, by the way, where was I? I was just on Rob Report looking at helicopters.
You know, can always use the second one.
Yeah, well, we got the one with the skis on it, but the retractable landing gear. Now, that's the one the winners have.
Anyway, love you.
That ain't cheap, so get back out there. Hey, last time I checked, the sun was shining. Go make some hay, baby. Yeah, she's had 24 jobs.
Yeah, busy lady.
And it's all, we're going to look back on this era in a very interesting way, which is, yes, there are, I guess, three black faces. I don't know what – I'm not sure what Hoda is.
Egyptian.
Oh. Two brothers and an Egyptian queen in there. But this thing, it's a constant, you know, beating of the drum. I'll spread it out and I'll circle back to my love of the Jews. Constant beating of the drum of we need – representation. We need to turn on the TV and see faces that look like our own so that other people can move forward in their life. We need a fire department that represents the community. We turn on the TV. I want to see some black faces, not blackface. But then you think about the Asians who do nothing but kick ass, and there's never any representation. Like little to no versions of like, where's my, speaking of kicking ass, get back to the aforementioned Jews. Yeah, they're behind the scenes, but not a ton of Jews in front of the camera.
Wasn't that Lauer Jewish? Lauer's a Jewish last name.
I don't know. I just feel like in terms of if there was some through line between your culture's representation or your sex or sexual proclivities, like some notion of like once we're represented by the fire department or by the city council or by the Today Show, then there shall be a pathway to success for our people. That's going to be a hard argument to make for me because I feel like the people, basically the cultures that are kicking the most ass in our culture are Asian, Indian.
Well, now that Apu's gone.
That Apu's gone. Jews are doing it. And then there's African Americans, like folks from Africa. Not a lot of representation. So maybe this whole we need the representation thing, maybe that's a flawed argument.
Novel idea.
Novel.
First time it's been floated.
All right.
Well, the military is deploying 5,000 troops to the southern border in anticipation of the caravan that started in Honduras, according to the Washington Post. The new figure is a major increase. It was 800 troops, and now they're saying about 5,200. The U.S. and federal law enforcement officials said troops are likely to be deployed to ports of entry, which the Pentagon has named Operation Faithful Patriot.
Can I say this? Yeah. If you're in this man's army,
subtle.
It's a sweet, sweet. Sweet assignment, man. You could be going to Crete.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know what I mean? You could be going full on Zero Dark 30 and whatever the American Sniper. And like you could be going there or you could be going to TJ. I mean, I got to tell you, there's nothing. All those border towns, fucking awesome. Best bars, best food. And really, what are you dealing with in terms of a threat?
Some tired people trying
ISIS
to
with
find
a
some beleaguered people seeking asylum.
Yeah, like how many people are wearing explosive vests?
Oh, it's got to be less than 10%.
Oh, for sure.
Definitely, right? Single digits, you'd imagine.
Oh, yes. So I'm just saying, like, it's a gig.
You make a very solid point.
The border, Dawson, you've hung around there, right?
A few times.
Good eats.
Street tacos, pretty good.
Good music.
Yeah.
Yeah, good food, good drinks. Lovely ladies. Oh, yeah. I'm just saying, as a 22-year-old military guy, that's where you want to go. Yeah. Forget about shipping back east.
No. Hey, if you're an 18-year-old military guy, you dip over the border into Tijuana and, you know.
Yeah.
I was 16 and not in the military and fucking dipped over to Tijuana. They just don't, they're lawless over there.
Well, the U.S. troops expect to do things like build tents and provide medical support. Under the latest plans, about 1,800 troops will go to Texas, 1,700 will go to Arizona, and 1,500 will come here to California. And the troops will consist largely of military police and engineers. U.S. Marines will also be deployed, according to the U.S. official.
Let me tell you about MedMen, today's cannabis consumers everywhere, everyone. Let's drop the labels. MedMen, you can be an executive, a parent. They call you a customer. There's something for everyone. Whether you're new to the cannabis world or familiar, like flower and lotion, edibles, vape pens, bath bombs, and more, touch screens that allow you to view in-depth product info and red-shirted staff that's incredibly knowledgeable puts you at ease. Check out one of their 14 retail locations in L.A., Orange County, San Diego, and now the Vegas Strip, everyone, now open. They got a new store there, Paradise and Harmon. You can visit them online if you like. You can go to MedMen.com. Find the store nearest you at MedMen.com. Right, Dawson?
And for our listeners, visit any MedMen and mention Adam Carolla at checkout for $10 off your order. Keep out of reach of children for use only by adults 21 years of age and older. Check out MedMen today.
All right. What else?
Well, we talk a lot about some fun auction stuff and things like that. This is a slight departure, but really interesting. People.com reports that...
Walter Payton's...
Oh, the car.
930... No, not slant nose. 911 Turbo from 1989, I think, went for about $320,000 all in.
That's what his dad would have wanted it.
No. And I think the going rate is more about $150, $175 for those cars. So Sweetness's name almost doubled the price of that, which is good for me because I got his fire suit.
Sweet.
Sweet.
Well, People.com reports that somewhere in South New Jersey, one person might regret donating what turned out to be a historic artifact to the Goodwill, a framed copy of a December 28th, 1774 edition of the Pennsylvania Journal and Weekly Advertiser newspaper was anonymously donated to Goodwill in Woodbury, New Jersey last spring, and it is estimated to be worth about $18,000. The double-sided Boston Tea Party era artifact bears the Unite or Die logo of pre-revolutionary America in the newspaper's masthead, and its text is filled with unique details. Three posts are signed by founding father John Hancock, and there's all these little blurbs and little blind items and little classified things. Basically, one of the classifieds reflect the
used
somewhat
black people, low mileage,
original owner.
Sorry. Someone had to say.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's actually
right.
One of the answers.
One of them is a somewhat comical sexism example of the era. A Cape May man, his ad reads, quote, "This is to give notice that my wife Phoebe has been very much misbehaved herself and not acted the part of my dutiful wife."
Oh, put her on blast. Mm.
"I do forbid all persons trusting of her on my account, for I will not pay any debt of her contracting."
Wow.
Wow.
A warning. Let this be a warning to all of your goods and sundry stores.
Come to 23andMe. I may be related to this dude.
She's a no-count Yankee.
Yeah.
Wow. It's funny, Max Pata, sorry for you, but there was a story on TMZ a couple of weeks ago where I think a British guy put his wife up on eBay.
You can do that? How'd that work?
Evidently, you can do almost anything once. I don't know. Then they catch on to you. But evidently, you can do anything one time. And then some things multiple times. But it was a story. I think it was on TMZ. I think it was a few weeks ago. And I think it was out of the UK.
Yeah,
and he put his girlfriend up on eBay. And this guy must be a relative of this dude. Because it was essentially the same thing. But this was the old brick and mortar version of the new high tech version of this.
If you newfangled selling your wife.
If you can find that, Maxipata, I'll tease it. You can look for it. I'll tell you guys about LifeLock. You found the story? Good. Over 3 years of software vulnerability at Google Plus social media network gave third party developers potential access to almost 500,000 users' data. With your personal info from data exposure, criminals can open accounts, file tax returns, and buy property. And once your FICO score gets FICO'd, you are effed as well. There's so many threats in today's connected world. Just takes 1 week link for criminals to get in, and good luck on ringing that bell. New LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your identity and devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. They are the best. They're the industry standard. We all have it here. It is LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses. But new LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code Adam for an extra 10% off your first year, plus a $25 Amazon gift card with annual enrollment. That's promo code Adam. Terms apply.
Max Battle, what is that TMZ story?
Okay. Oh, shoot. So in the UK, a guy puts up his wife on eBay. He lists her as unsympathetic, but has decent body work and skills in the kitchen. It was a prank, but he was stunned to find that bids hit over 65,000 euros.
Wow.
For her. She wanted to kill him.
But at that point, I got to say, you got to think about selling. Like, if it started off as a prank, but once you get, and by the way, you know, 65 euros, that's like 85 grand. Once you start inching up toward 100, you got to think about squeezing the trigger.
It,
exactly.
You'd be a fool not to.
Yeah, he wrote, like, not new, has been used, but still got some good miles left in her. She said she was actually also really upset because he used such a bad photo of her.
That's perfect.
I feel her.
Oh, no, it's definitely a woman thing to be more pissed at the photo. Like we talked about.
The offer to sell?
Well,
yeah.
Like it's not that you cheated. It's that you cheated with Cheryl Ann. Like that. We're mad that you cheated.
Yeah.
Or, sorry.
But yes.
This is a story. That story in that newspaper is 300 years old. It's 200. How many? 200 something years old?
70 something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of. 1774.
Now, look, those of you who'd like us as males to change our wiring, good luck.
Still trying to sell your wives.
Yes, 250 years of this. So.
Yeah, and a lot of the bidders were kind of in on the jokes. They asking questions about the mileage and the upkeep. She goes into work and finds out and is just laughed at.
I don't know. I think these guys are going to make it.
Yeah.
I think these kids got a chance.
Yeah, so she said that she's just she's going to be taking revenge on his wallet, and Christmas is going to be very expensive.
They sound like a perfect couple.
All right, let's do one more.
All right. Well, if there's any team that can relate to the Dodgers losing, it's the Texas Rangers. And they sent the Dodgers a tweet to prove it on Sunday after the game. They lost game 5-1 to the Red Sox. And the tweet said, "Hey, Dodgers, the support group for back-to-back World Series losers meets on Tuesday." Meanwhile, over at the game, Jimmy Kimmel and Matt Damon showed their frenemy status again. This time at the World Series, the actor and late-night host attended Sunday's game between the Dodgers and the Sox.
Their respective teams. Yeah,
yeah, they their hometown teams, pretty much. And they wore a delightful T-shirt. They each had an "I'm with Stupid" shirt, one in blue, one in red. Damon and Kimmel have been battling for 12 years now, continually seeming to outdo each other with hilarious fake fights on the show. And this is just priceless.
I didn't see it on the broadcast. I sort of showed up in the middle of it. I hope it made the broadcast.
It did, yeah.
I got obsessed with when they went to the audience, and there's one guy sitting there was drinking a jug of milk.
That was
odd. And I was obsessed. I just stopped it. Poor Lynette. She's like, "Oh, so he's drinking milk." And I'm like, "What's he have a jug of milk for? Where'd he get a jug of milk?" And she's like, "Maybe she's got a kid. Who brings a jug of milk for a kid?
In?
You bring a goddamn bottle. How do you get into a place?" And it was a long story. Also, at some point in the eighth or ninth inning, they struck somebody out. Like, the Red Sox pitcher struck out a Dodger, and the crowd went nuts. And Lynette said, "Where are they playing?" And I said, "L.A. And then I thought, this is why we're horrible sports town. I literally played it back a few times. Like, ninth inning, it wasn't for the win, but it's like getting close to the end. Dodger struck out, crowd nuts. Like, it's audible.
That's
like,
all you have to
know. And I just think, that's not possible in Chicago or Boston. No. Is it? Like, where else can you hear everyone erupt? At the wrong stadium.
You were watching the Rams game, obviously. There were several loud chants of "Let's go Pack." The Pack
yes,
Packers, but
you would never.
The out-of-town fans come out, you know, in droves.
And I don't know if they come out, they're here. It's like,
well, they come out,
I mean,
to the
right,
game. You know,
right.
Yeah, they don't travel from, yeah, the hometown.
Also, weren't there like five games going on at once in L.A. on Saturday night? Two guys, I heard on the news on the way in, two guys went to everything. It was a
really?
Yeah, so even, I mean, I can't remember what all of them were off the top of my head.
Kimmel,
Kings game.
Rams game. You had the obviously the Dodgers game, and then Staples had a Clippers
game. Yeah, they went to the Clippers
game. Kings game.
They went to the Clippers game after the World Series, and there was it the Sparks,
you know,
or something?
What, I'll tell you one thing I do love about baseball.
I
bag on baseball a little bit, but I'll tell you one thing I do love about baseball is how it turns everyone into a retarded person, because
feels like you're still bagging on baseball.
I'm backstage at Stand Up Live, and the show's in the green room we're in, dressing room, green room, and late show. It's about, I guess it was a late show, right, Max Pata? It's like 9:45 or something, and or maybe it was the early show. I think it was the early show. Either way, I look at the TV. It must have been the early show. And it's like, Dodgers are up 4-0. And then I go do a 90-minute show. And then I come back, and Red Sox are up 8-4. And I'm like, what happened? How? Yeah. What goes on? What gives? And I'm like, again, a retarded person.
Are you
like,
telling
what
me they
wizardry?
Scored eight times?
Like, it's such a weird thing. Like, well, obviously they scored. You remember that 95 minutes you weren't in the room? Yes. And you weren't monitoring the game? Yes.
A lot ensued.
Well, the Boston team, evidently through their own skill or the lack of skill or a combination of their own skill and lack of skill and their opponent, scored eight times. But I have to get indignant. What goes on here? What gives?
On my watch.
Four runs.
Yeah.
And they scored runs.
I know. And then you have to slowly explain it. It was 4-0, okay? And then I left for an extended period of time. And then when I came back, it was different.
It was no longer 4-0.
And not in a happy way. And not in a good way. In a bad way where the other team was winning. Now, what happened?
What is the meaning of this?
I need an explanation.
You did look very baffled that when you went back into the green room.
It is funny how it kind of makes us all do that. What happened here? Like, oh, well.
Well.
Sit down. They scored a bunch of runs. I feel the same way we do with aging blonde starlets. Like,
what happened?
What happened to Barbie Benton? Well, she's 67 years old now.
Quite a bit of years since she was in Playboy.
She's not 22. Yeah. But remember those pictures of her from 1971? Right.
They were nice.
She was 19. Well, now she's 70. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like clockwork.
What gives?
What gives? I'm gonna
explain this.
Monday morning, on my desk, I'm gonna an explanation of what went on in this Boston game and what went on with Barbie Benton. You understand me?
Was she in the Boston game?
No, they're two different reports. All right. Jesus Christ. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. The Jews are coming for everybody.
Gina!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Oh, Joe Coy and Wheeler Walker Jr. on tomorrow's show. So we got that to look forward to. I'll tell you about Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, viscosity to break down. They rob your engine of maximum performance. That friction results in a loss of performance up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, just gets stronger under pressure. Helps fight friction, deliver maximum levels of performance for your car three times.
Three times, fool.
Stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. Castrol Edge. Unlock the true performance in your car's engine. All right. Live shows, Anaheim Grove, all of us, November 30th up there with Rob Riggles. So say hi and enjoy a live podcast with us. Check out Adam Carolla Goes Racing on MotorTrend.com. Lots of good in-car footage and all that kind of stuff. Say hi to Lynette over Corolla Drinks. Lots of specials going on over there. She's doing a bang-up job, so enjoy that on a football Sunday. Say hi to our friends over at Podcast One. They got a bunch of thrillers for Halloween on there. Lots of true crime podcasts. You can just check that out, Podcast One. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Gina Grad and Bald Brian. Say mahalo. Easy Street, yeah. And it smells like cotton candy.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take a Knee for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Click on the link at AdamCarolla.com. Subscribe to Fantasy BS, hosted by Bald Brian and Sonny Carolla on Podcast One. And Anaheim, Grove of Anaheim. Again, live podcast with Rob Riggle. For tickets and info on all the live podcasts, Mangry events, books, movies, and more, go to AdamCarolla.com. And now, stay tuned for AP News.